we're going to pray that the Lord would give us insight today into the Proverbs 1 through 6, which we're going to, that's where our text will be. So let's have a word from the prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you thanking you that you woke us up this morning. Father, we thank you that you put it on our heart that we would be before you, that we may come for the appetizers of your word before we hear the message this evening. Father, we pray that through this, your son would be exalted, that we would hear from you. So, Father, remove all distractions. Take the things of the world away from our minds for this brief time that we may look clearly into the Lord Jesus Christ's face. And that maybe we will receive the things that are necessary for our edification this morning and this afternoon. So, Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you that you're a God of mercy. We thank you that you are a kind and good God. So, Father, this morning, let us hear from you. Let us hear from your word. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be going through the Proverbs 1 through 6, the first one. It is just replete. It's replete with theology. In it encompasses all the things that we need to know about God and the knowledge that he has imparted to us, obviously, is going to be in the face of Jesus Christ. But I wanted to kind of prime our thoughts. I wanted to build somewhat of a foundation. And we're going to start off by looking at Chronicles 1:7-12. See, because I would be remiss if I started to talk about knowledge if we didn't talk about the man in the scriptures who God had given more knowledge to anyone, any man that had ever walked the face of this earth. And no one has come other than the Lord himself that has ever received as much knowledge as he has received. And there never will be another one that received the knowledge that God imparted unto Solomon. And so it says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask, what shall I give thee? And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed many great mercy unto David my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and a multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies. Neither yet hast thou asked for long life, but thou hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that you mayest judge my people of whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have been before thee, neither shall any after thee have the like. Now, I wanted to prime our thoughts with that because there's some operative words in there, and that is that God granted, that God gave it. And when we talk about knowledge, it's never the knowledge that comes from the wisdom of man or by some human intuition, some human acumen that we gather and claim to ourselves wisdom in God. All knowledge, all wisdom, all perception comes from God. Well, there's the wisdom of the world, and we know what God says about that. But there's the wisdom that God gives through the Spirit. And that is what is important to the child of God. That's what tickles your fancy. That's what floats your boat. That is that which he gives that leads unto eternal life. Wisdom and knowledge is important. It is the most important thing in the world that we have a correct knowledge of the Word of God. We know today that we have many denominations. We have the Roman Catholics. We have the Episcopalians. We have the Lutherans. We have all of these different denominations. And everybody touts that they're preaching the true, unadulterated Word of God. We know that can't be true. Somebody's got to be right. We might all be wrong, but we can't all be right. We can't all say it's by works and that be the way. But if it is not by works, then what is it by? How does a man go from understanding one thing that we say, that we tout here at Grace, is that we are saved through by grace, through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. But how is it that some, with their whole theological perspective and purview, falls straight into what we do by works? I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. And the one thing that we knew and that we were taught is that you got to God by what you did. By your works. But we know, and I thank God, that we have, God has raised up men here at Grace. And he has called those men here at Grace to preach the truth as it is according to the scriptures. See, outside of the scriptures, there's no safety. Outside of the scriptures, you're out there on a boat in the sea by yourself. But in the scriptures, there is safety. And the scriptures must be rightly divided. God has given you, with many men here that are at Grace, that are your consistory, the blessing to rightly divide the word of God and then to impart that word to you. Right now we're gonna go to Proverbs 1-6, and I want to read that because that's what we're gonna get. That's what we're gonna be talking about here this morning. Proverbs 1-6. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give some subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand the proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark saying. You know what I got to say about that? That's huge. I don't have to go any further than here, because it's rich, it's replete with spiritual truths. We know that wisdom is not something that you just, it's not the first step. The first step is to be taught. It's the instruction. It's just like when you go to school. You didn't just go to school and you were wise. You knew it. You had everything going. As a matter of fact, you taught the teacher. But knowledge comes through teaching. We're going to prove that through the scripture. It doesn't make a difference what I say. What makes a difference is what the word says. You see, God has given us in his word the methodology that needs to be used in order to impart his wisdom to us. In order to impart that wisdom to us, if we went to Isaiah 20, we don't have to go there, but we do this by precept upon precept. Line upon line, a little bit here and a little bit there. So the true exegete of the scriptures of the word of God utilizes the methodology so that you would receive a clear and a cogent message by which the word of God is illuminated. And when it's illuminated, who do we see? Christ walking through the scriptures from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, walking. In pictures and types and shadows and figures. All of these things testify to God. You know what that's called? Knowledge. Knowledge.
See, where knowledge is taken away and knowledge is not imparted, the people perish for lack of knowledge. That's in Hosea if you want to go there. Knowledge is imparted by those who God has called and has given the grace and a measure and a gift to be able to impart truth as it is in Christ. That is everything that we need, not only here, but to get us there. See, if when we go through the scriptures and Christ is not clearly delineated, expounded and taught throughout the scriptures, we have not rightly understood what it is. It has not been rightly interpreted. It has not harmonized. We need to go back. You know, I know somebody that was a wonderful exegete of the scriptures. His name was Paul. Anybody know anything about him? You know what Paul said? See, Paul knew every jot. They were raising Paul up, you know, to be, you know, a high priest. You know, he's a Pharisee. He knew something about the word, just didn't know the author. Right. See, he had a form of godliness, but he denied the power thereof. Right. The words don't save you unless the words come alive through the Spirit of God. It has to be given. It has to be imparted. It has to be brought out so that God brings it in. And, you know, God doesn't want to save you. He doesn't try to save you. If God shows you Jesus Christ and gives you life and faith in him and imparts the truth, the word, the effulgent, inerrant, infallible word of God in you, then you have the truth. You know what you do after that? Stand, rest, smile, be glad, be glorified, be happy in Christ Jesus. I just got to do that. That just came out of me. That wasn't part of what I was talking about, but oh well, we went there. We went there. So wisdom is that quality of being wise to make sound decisions predicated upon the knowledge that you've received by preachers that God called, not to the ones that just went. See, we got some that just went, but we got some that were sent. We got teachers that were sent. What we want to hear is from the ones that were sent. Not the ones that just went. They called themselves. They were just in it for their belly. They were in it for the money. They're in it. They were in it, but they are in it. We know that today. If any of you happen to have television, you turn on a television set to any of these so-called televangelistic programs, you're going to hear everything except for the Word of God. Maybe save a couple out of the hundreds that tout themselves as children of God. You don't hear about sin. There's no judgment. And where there's no sin and no judgment, there's no holiness. There's no righteousness. See, God and everything that we will know about God is predicated upon his holiness. God is holy. What does he call us? He says, he's holy, be ye holy. Be ye holy. Can't do it. But I have it. I've received it. I was given it. And I have it and have received it and am in it in Christ Jesus. That's good news. It's outside of you, but in him. But if you have him, then you have everything. See, when we talked about Solomon and God giving him wisdom, God also gave him riches. It's a type. It points to the riches that we have in Christ Jesus, the pearl of great price. It's that field where the man went and sold everything, bought that field, because in him we have everything, all the riches, everything that God could ever give us, he gives it to us in his son, who he made to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness. To become the righteousness of God in him. How do you do that? It takes wisdom and knowledge. It took a sacrifice. It took God in his infinite wisdom before the foundation of the world placed you in Christ Jesus, and we waited for that down that linear thing we call time to play out. And then in the dispensation and in the fullness of time, God called you personally, effectively. God spoke to your heart. Some of you were religious. Some of you like me and maybe the Jehovah's Witness, Roman Catholic, whatever. But there was something wrong. Right. Something just didn't seem right. And then when you heard the truth, what was the difference? Was it in you? No. No, we're going to get to it in a minute. It was the Spirit of God speaking to you, calling you. Just like, remember we talked about that guy? He was an Ethiopian eunuch. You know, Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch was a guy that was in charge of all the riches of his kingdom. And, you know, he was making his, coming back from Jerusalem where you would go to pray. And, you know, he had the book. And he had the book. And in that book, you know, he's reading Isaiah. And he was reading at this part where it said, we are like sheep have been led to slaughter. It says he was led to slaughter. And when he was reading that, he couldn't understand what it was. Well, Philip was there, and the Spirit of God told Philip, go speak to that man. See, there's a type. I just wanted you to see how the Spirit of God dispatched Philip to speak to that man. And you say, who was this man talking about? And beginning from there, he preached Jesus Christ. You know what he said after that? He was ready. That's it for me. There's some water. I'm ready to make a profession right now. It's the same thing with us. It's not within us. I remember Chuck, and I was so pleased to hear this. I was out there. And sometimes I call this part, what we're in here right now, I call this the appetizer. All y'all folks that like to eat get to come in and get the appetizer. And I have seen throughout my time here at Grace where you would think that Rick or Chuck called up Pastor Jesse and said, what you going to be preaching about? Because I'm going to connect this with you. And you'll see Pastor Jesse come out and say, well, you know, he took part of my sermon. It's because the Spirit of God is always working. Right. He wants to give you clarity. He confirms his word by his witnesses. I've had my wife to tell me one time, well, what, you know, you went up and talked to Pastor Jesse about what we were arguing about. I said, well, that's what he was talking about. It wasn't because of me. But somebody heard it. It's called the Spirit of God. Infinite. Present everywhere at all times. So we see how that Spirit works. And when that man, that Ethiopian heard it, it was good news to his soul. He didn't need anything else. God saved him just like that. So that wisdom denotes, it connotes an understanding and an acknowledgement and an ability for us to make use of that which God has given. God doesn't just save you to sit there. He doesn't just fill you up and pour into you all of his riches, all of his knowledge. He pours it into us that we might fulfill our commission. Knowledge of God gives us a purview, a perspective, an ability to perceive things as they are. That hearing ear, we know that by the scriptures, right? Because faith, that faith that we talked about, faith cometh by what? And hearing by the word of God. Who is the word of God? Christ. Christ. God pours into us his knowledge and ability to use knowledge and to divulge that knowledge that he gives us with clarity and again in a clear and cogent manner. To where when we hear it, we receive it, we check it, we're Bereans, We're Bereans. We don't just sit here listlessly. But our ears are opened. Our eyes of our understanding are enlightened. That we have a clear purview. We have a periscope. We can peer through the opaque and obscure knowledge of who we were to the clear, effulgent Son of God, who He has given. And in Christ Jesus, God has given us everything. Not some things. And if God has given us everything, this is knowledge. These are principles. You can't add to it. How do you add to everything? How do you add to it? We do what we do because, check this out. He's always the first call. Because He first did for us. Everybody doesn't get wisdom, doesn't receive wisdom. Everybody doesn't understand. But unto you it was given to understand the mysteries of the King of God, kingdom of God. Unto you. Knowledge imparted by God. Everybody knows there's a God. They may suppress the truth, but they know there's a God. They may supplant the truth, but they know there's a God. They resist it. They don't want to hear about it. But there's a God. And each and every one of us must appear before His seat. In Proverbs, chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom out of His mouth." Right? Out of His mouth. It's not from you, it's from Him. And in James, which is our corollary scripture, says, if any of us who are called of God, I got to put that caveat there, any of us who are called of God lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But God says, ask it with faith, believe it. Because he that come to him must believe that he is, and what? A rewarder of those that what? Seek him. So we understand by what God is telling us here, and even in our lives, that it's never, ever in us. We never, ever contribute anything to what God has given us that points to, that fully gives us a knowledge of the salvation that He's given us in Christ Jesus. It's not of works. If it were works, then what? We could boast. God would be a debtor to us to give it to us because we work for it. But that would take away the meaning of a gift. That would take away the meaning of grace, because then it's no longer by grace, but by what? By works. But it's a free gift. It's a gift that's given. It's a gift that's done. It's a gift that's completed in Christ Jesus. It's not of us. We don't have it within us. And even this knowledge which God gives us, it says God gives to a man that is good in his sight. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Remember we talked about a little earlier about how it was a good thing to that Ethiopian eunuch? He was joyful. He was glad. Just like we're glad to be here in the house of the Lord. We're glad to be here and hear the word of God expounded, rightly divided. You out, he's in. He's preeminent. He's huge. We just look unto Jesus Christ. We stand firm in the word which he has given us. You see, there's a We know that all throughout time, there were men that were wise, men that had knowledge. There are men today, many men today, that have knowledge. But that knowledge is foolishness. It's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world to God is just foolishness. Oh, they'll tell you that, ooh, I only got a couple more minutes. I got to speed this up a little bit. They'll tell you that there's something in you. Oh, and the Bible was good for a time. It was moral and good. And you know, it helped keep humanity in check and all of these things. And, you know, we've gotten past that now because of our, you know, scientific discoveries that have played out throughout time. We kind of come to know that this is, you know, that those things were good. But, you know, we've moved beyond that now. And it's within us, and we have to take it within us. And, you know, we'll treat each other right. I can't even do that at my house. We're going to treat each other right outside in the world, and we can't even do it at the house. 24, it's not happening. See, I love grace because we don't have to lie here. We just tell the truth. I am what I am by the grace of God, and so are you.
So, we understand that the acquisition of this knowledge is worldly knowledge, or the knowledge that is so called to be in the Word of God, when it has not rightly been divided, leads to unbiblical, unfruitful understandings of God. See, God only saves. God only saves by truth. He doesn't save you by a lie or a partial truth, as we said before. Many can be wrong, but all can't be right. There's only one right. And I don't care what the world says. Well, it was wrong then. That's your right. But I believe the right is this way. There's only one right. As they continue to wear down the moral fabric of the world, and then it makes its way into the church. And so we get this skewed view of God. But see, let God be true in every man a liar. The word of God is true. True. And God only saves through the truth. There's only one way. Jesus Christ said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And so when the word of God is taught in a proper exegetical manner, it glorifies God in the face and in the person of Jesus Christ. And then we believe that Jesus Christ, that he came according to the scriptures. That he was crucified according to the scriptures. That he was buried according to the scriptures. That he rose the third day according to the scriptures. That he was seated at the right hand of God according to the scriptures. Not according to Al. Not according to you. But according to the scriptures. And God implants within us that faith to believe who he is and what he is and what he did and where he is now. That we might have everything, not some things, everything necessary for godliness, not only in this life, but in the life to come, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Not in you, not in me. Remember this. I got one little thing to say. Remember when Jesus Christ went to the Jews? And he said to them, search the scriptures. In them you think that you have life. But these are they which testify of me. Yet you won't come to me that you would have life. They had the word. They didn't know the author. They missed him. Eternal life, truth, righteousness, holiness can only be found in one place. That's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's as far as I can get But I pray that you guys heard something about peace and rest and about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have imparted, that you have showed us that narrow way, the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. That is, that knowledge comes from God, is given by God, is cultivated by God. And then with that knowledge, we believe God through faith, which is a gift of God, not of ourselves. And that we walk in that, and that, Father, you sanctify us. You continue to wash us. You continue to cleanse us. And that we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you because we know that you are a good God. And, Father, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We thank you that you've given us, woke us up this morning, that you've given us life and faith in Christ. And, Father, we know that you'll see us through to the end. So be with us this morning. We ask for a blessing, for a safe return for our pastor. And, Father, we ask for a blessing on the message from our elder Chuck this afternoon. May it impart truth and wisdom. May it give us a clear picture of the allegories that we need to know, which all consummate in the truth as it is in Christ Jesus for our edification. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.